Welcome back to One and Done, Raising an Only Child, Not a Lonely Child. This is one of your hosts, Jamie, speaking, and I just got back from a family trip out of state. It's late, I'm tired, but we want to stick to a weekly publishing schedule, and we really wanted to talk today about the topic of accepting your family size and letting go of a fantasy. Now, I mentioned last week that we're also going to be talking about the question of, quote, why can't I handle more, unquote. That's coming up next. Now, I just wanted to put forth an explanation or a disclaimer about this show and the way it's been going. We're still a pretty new show. We're slowly building a community and an audience, and we are here to serve parents of only children so that we can feel less alone, we can learn from each other, we can uplift each other, celebrate each other, and destigmatize only child families. So to that end, I've been noticing a few challenges so far in our podcasting journey that might interest you or some of you might be able to help with, or we'd love your input on. One is that, as you have heard if you've been listening, each episode has featured myself or my wonderful co-host, Kathy. You hear our voice, you hear some of our story. That was never the vision. We are not experts, and we always wanted to showcase many different voices so that you can tune in and hear someone in your situation or with another perspective and really hear about the many, many ways that only child families are just rocking it in this life. And so to that end, if you know someone who is not shy and would like to come on, if they have certain reservations, they don't want to put their business out there on the internet, that's understandable. They can use a pseudonym or be anonymous if they need to. Let us know. We also do have a voicemail option. This just takes literally 60 seconds of time. If you're fired up about this topic, if you would love to see only child families destigmatized and celebrated, then hop on and send us a voicemail. The link is in the show notes. We would love to hear from you and feature you on a future episode. Just choose any aspect of the only child topic that you yourself are passionate about or anything you'd like to share about your life. I realize this is a big ask, and a lot of people are just listening quietly and living their lives, and people are busy, so I do understand that it might take some time to get more folks on the show, but we definitely do want to hear from and showcase and feature more voices and more diverse life experiences and stories. So, on a similar note, our tone has gotten maybe a little bit somber. This was always meant to be a celebration of only child families, and yet Kathy and I can only speak to where we're at. As Kathy shared on, I believe it was episode 6, Struggles and Comebacks, she's at a certain point on her only child parenting journey. Her son's 11. She's sort of come out the other side of what she called I suppose it's the cycle of grief or the process of grief. Not everyone is even grieving. Some people have always wanted an only child or are just thrilled they have a child at all, as so many people don't even get that experience who wanted to. So we're all at different places in our journey. I myself was actually just listening to her episode because I benefited from it also. And when she talked about the stages of grief, I realized until very recently, I was at the bargaining stage. I would literally wake up and sometimes ask God, hey, if you could just, you know, throw us another surprise pregnancy. I know it sounds maybe ridiculous, but or ungrateful, but I just, maybe it's biology. I haven't been fully in the acceptance mode as I thought I was when I started this show. I wanted to come at it from a place of, oh, I'm owning it. And sometimes you can say that and not fully mean it. So on a positive note, I wanted to share with you an experience that has helped me own it more, own our family size more, and being an only child parent, which doesn't define me or anyone else, but it is part of our experience, and it is perfectly and wonderfully okay, and something that helped kind of push me from, I suppose I was ready to leave the bargaining stage and thankfully have received the grace to move toward acceptance. So this is a story that actually took place this weekend, and it is related to an article that I'm going to share that I will link to in the show notes. Real quick disclaimer, I'm really cognizant that the internet is quote unquote forever, and my daughter may listen to this someday. Nothing I'm about to say has any reflection on her or any of our children. When we talk about our grief, it has no bearing on them or their behavior. We are so grateful for them, right? It's simply a question, and I hope that our children can understand someday that some of us didn't make a choice and have more love to give in our hearts and would love to see our child have a sibling in the home who they can grow up with and all the benefits that ideally can come from that. And that is okay. That is valid and that is okay. But it doesn't mean we're not thankful enemies that we do have a child. Okay, with that said, this is what helped push me recently or encourage me to accept my situation in a more deeper and authentic way. So, this past weekend, I went to the Jersey Shore and visited some family, and which is great. Hadn't seen them in literally 7 months because COVID. But my point is, I had this experience where we were on the beach and everything was beautiful and perfect, and I saw my daughter frolicking near the waves with her grandparents, having this wonderful moment. And on the one hand, it's almost too good to be true. It's just a beautiful scene, and I'm happy to be in the moment. On the other hand, and maybe you can relate to this, sometimes intrusive thoughts can come up, the what ifs, the if onlys, maybe the child that you miss, that you lost, the pregnancy that you lost, the possibilities, maybe the choice that you didn't make that was kind of made for you. The fertility battles. This is assuming that there is some challenge. I understand some of our listeners, like I said, were one and done by choice, and that's wonderful too. But for those of you that have had some intrusive thoughts pop in when you're just trying to enjoy your life and enjoy your parenting, then you understand what I mean. And this was happening, and it was really annoying. And thoughts in my case, I'll just briefly mention because I don't want to upset or trigger anyone, but many of us have been through miscarriage, including myself, and that was just last year. And so thoughts of what it would be like to have our younger daughter with us, how old she would be, how the girls would be interacting. There happened to arrive just then a family with, you guessed it, two girls, and one was a baby and one was around my daughter's age, and I was like, really? So I was in my feelings, as the kids say, and on the one hand, very grateful and enjoying the moment and the present, and on another hand, pulled toward maybe a fantasy of what could have been, what might have been, that sort of slipped away. And so I thought I could talk a little bit about ways to cope when we have those intrusive thoughts and ways to begin to let go of the fantasy. This does not mean denying your feelings and beating yourself up, saying, I should be grateful, I have to be present. That's not what I'm talking about. We're all about showing ourselves and each other grace here. Rather, this article I'm about to read you snippets from arrived right on time for me, and it has to do with exactly that, letting go of the fantasy and accepting what is. And it was just the clarity and the tough love and the directness that I needed. And it is written by a fellow only child. As you probably know, I am an only child too, who is the mother of an only child and has written a book on this topic. Her name is Lauren Sandler. Lauren Sandler. So let me go ahead and pull up that article. Hang on just a moment. So the article was about when single child families idealize what they don't have, how the fantasy of larger families can poison our own happiness and development. And it was about how sometimes you see pictures of people on the beach, right? So timely for me because I was on the beach. I came home, I went on my iPad, and I was just searching for things related to this show. I was doing some research, and this article came up, and there was a picture of a large family on the beach. And this woman was saying that, Sorry, hang on a second. When only children are raised to feel like they would be better off with siblings, they idealize those imaginary siblings and begin to tell a story about their lives that isn't their truth. Nor would it have been the truth of an actual larger family. So as a quick aside, this is me now. This ties into the topic of narrative. If you listen to our episode about when there's an age gap between children, siblings, so there's an only child, but there's a big age gap and they technically have siblings. I talked a lot from personal experience about narrative, how important it is for every child to have a coherent story about their family and a sense of belonging in some kind of unit, big or small. So, getting back to the article, Lauren Sandler talks about how we begin to tell ourselves a false story, a false narrative, and our children will pick up on that and begin to tell themselves, in turn, a false narrative, a story about their lives which isn't their truth. Again, nor would it have been the truth of an actual larger family, because families are messy. I wish it wasn't the case. And I'm sure there are some larger families that get along better, but you know, YouTube isn't real. And there's a lot that goes on behind closed doors. As she writes, siblings come with plenty of pain and loneliness attached, but our fantasies of them rarely leave room for the heartbreak or sometimes total disengagement that occurs in those relationships. Sometimes it's great to have a sister or brother. Sometimes it's excruciating. Some of you who have siblings know that this is true. It's a spectrum either way. And the notion that they keep us from the experience of loneliness has been thoroughly debunked in scholarly articles and clinical observation. An Austin-based psychotherapist named Carl Pickhart, he wrote a book called The Future of Your Only Child, and he says that one of the gifts of only childhood is being a good companion for yourself. And I will just add real quick for myself that I have found that to be true as an only child. And as in this very disconnected age where we are quote-unquote connected to everything but ourselves, having that foundation of being able to deal with boredom, with emotional pain, and to be creative and to be in touch with yourself and to hear your own voice is so life-giving and so important. Do you have to be an only child to have that? No, but I know from experience that there are unique opportunities in the only child experience to grow in that way of self-connection. So echoing the observations of many psychologists and researchers and drawing from years of observation and analysis in his practice, Pickhart has found that time alone, far from being painful, becomes rewarding because the only child is establishing a bond of lasting benefit, a primary friendship with himself. He says, this bond creates a foundation of self-sufficiency that contributes to the only child's independence and enjoyment of solitude and an affirmative relationship to him or herself. And as a quick aside, I actually used to work with someone who is now a New York Times best-selling author. We worked in a nonprofit together randomly years ago, but she became an Instagram celebrity writing about coming of age and young adulthood, and now has her book, and this woman's name is Mari Andrew, and she talks all the time in her interviews and in her speaking engagements about being an only child and how she couldn't have become who she is without being an only child, and you can tell just the confidence, the way she adapts to different people. It sort of goes back to our episode about famous only children. Like, for example, Alicia Keys can talk to anyone in the room. And I can say honestly from personal experience, and some of this comes from maybe having the grace of a touch of extroversion. But yes, I can, for better or for worse, I can read a room and adapt. I won't always understand all the politics, but I can talk to and connect with almost anyone. And a lot of that has to do with being an only child. So getting back to my experience this weekend on the beach and the Lauren Sandler article, and the story about the pictures that she saw in her social media about families that were always on beaches for some reason, wearing, of course, the uniform of white t-shirts and khakis and just jumping all around the sand and just, being adorable. She writes, "It's grueling. It's grueling to feel that other people get something you want, which you'll never have. This sort of envy and resentment can take deep seed inside us and grow into thorny identities. When most people have siblings and we don't, that outsiderness foments that growth." She says, "So I feel empathy. I truly do." When the author of this post writes, and she quotes someone who said she went on a recent visit with her friend who pulled out the beach picture, the one where all the grandchildren are wearing white t-shirts and khakis, like I said. She and her three sisters have produced an impressive bond, and their holidays brim with the closeness of cousins who are as tight as siblings. Even now, I can feel the sting of that photo in my hand. I miss the siblings I will never have, and now I miss their phantom children." Okay, pause for a second. Let's not freak out because that quote was crazy sad. I mean, I don't mean to say it was crazy, but it's a sad thought. That's our fear, probably, that our children will ever be that lonely. However, as an only child myself, I'm here to tell you that it is purely a matter of attitude and choices in life. And this is what Lauren Sandler says. Lauren Sandler says, "I want to tell her," this woman who posted that this is key. Listen up. "That what she's missing is a fantasy. It's a fantasy. A smiling for the camera moment, which she's populated with another generation of imaginary relatives, just as her parents did. I want to tell her that by making her feel less than enough, she was given an idealized sense of a happy big brood, which the culture and friend snapshot supports, but personal struggles may not. We all have stories we tell ourselves to explain our struggles. Hers is that she's an only child. Meanwhile, siblings I know have to reach for other narratives: divorce, career struggles, disability, and various unquenched desires. Or having to dress alike in a family picture. Seriously, how did white shirts and khakis become the de rigueur family beach photo uniform? As parents, it's incumbent upon us to protect our only children from our own struggles with having only one. And as only children, we need to append the story that siblings make a happy family and own the joy and strength we make in our own lives, in our primary friendships with ourselves and with everyone we bring into our chosen family. Giving that a moment. So when I read that, it was exactly the medicine I needed, and so I wanted to share it with you, because what I was missing on that beach was a fantasy. I do not mean to deny or dismiss the reality of grief, which some of you know so well and may be in the thick of in this moment. And I honor any losses you've been through and encourage you to consider listening to Kathy's episode. I think it was number 6 on struggles and comebacks. Because a lot of folks told us they relate, and it normalizes that grief and kind of lets you know what the process may look like. There's no timeline for everyone, but Kathy is very vulnerable in that episode. Okay, that being said, in that moment, it was less about grief for me. For me, when I was sitting on the beach, then clinging to a fantasy of a second child, in my case, the daughter that I did not get to raise on earth, and of what it would be like to go for a baby now, if that were to happen as a possibility, or I worded that awkwardly, but just all the different possibilities and avenues that may or may not be open to us in life. I also know some of you have dealt with or are dealing with infertility, so I'm trying to be careful. But just being really honest with you, I refuse to waste more time living in a fantasy when I have a living child in front of me to enjoy and to raise. And I know it gets intense and all parents need a break and such, but in that moment on the beach, all I wanted to do was enjoy her, enjoy the moment, and enjoy the fact that her grandparents were there so her daughter and I could get a break and just watch and watch her interact with them and interact with her and just be. And isn't that what we all want? We don't want to waste time. Two things. Number one, we don't want to waste the present moment living in a fantasy. And then number two, as Lauren Sandler wrote in this article so eloquently, we do not want to pass on, let's see, how did she put it? We do not want to pass on our mourning for children that aren't here instead of celebrating the child that is. Because if we choose to continue mourning forever, if we choose to make our family size a tragedy, well, then our children will mourn with us. And that's not what we want for them, is it? I mean, some mourning may be necessary, but we have so much to celebrate. We're here, aren't we? And we're fine, honestly. So I hope this is making sense. It's late. I just got back from a trip. But that really spoke to me, and it really bolstered and buffered me, because the next thing that I saw was as I was saying, it bolstered and buffered me. I had to stop recording there for a second, but it did that because I also came across a lot of more negative and stigmatizing things about only children and single-child families. But thankfully, unlike in the past, each time that I saw something more negative, I was able to come back to a true place of acceptance. Previously, I'd been accepting, but then something would sort of knock the wind out of me, a comment here, a tweet there, a remark over there. But I'm happy to report that I am reaching a genuine place of centeredness and acceptance, and no longer casting about for what could have been, what might have been, what should be, what will be, but staying more and more here with what is, which is my wonderful kid and husband and don't forget myself, and in my case, my cat. So I hope that this episode brought some hopefulness, encouragement. I hope that what I shared from the Lauren Sandler article about letting go of a fantasy was something that was helpful, particularly with regard to, and I know that this is true because I'm an only child, if the parents can genuinely own the situation and work through those cycles of grief. I understand it takes time and it's a process, but if we can ultimately make that decision to accept, it is not only going to benefit us and help us receive peace, it is going to infuse more peace into the family when we own our situation. It is such a blessing to the child to not grow up thinking of what they're missing or what might have been or how things could be, but to learn by the modeling of their parents, usually not even with words, that it's okay, because it really is. So let's see. So as I said, next week we're going to have an episode on the question of why can't I handle more, which is a really loaded and kind of stigmatizing question, but that was the way it was worded, and it was asked really earnestly, and it's something we wanted to respect that one of our group members raised, and I think I'm willing to bet it's something that's crossed a lot of our minds. It's a question that's crossed my mind. And so that question was asked in our Facebook group. You can join our Facebook group. It is called One and Done, Raising an Only Child, Not a Lonely Child, just like our podcast. We would love to have you over there. As I said, there's a link to a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. I'm trying to wrap this up because we're trying to keep our episodes more short. We know y'all are busy parents. Let's see, anything else? No, okay. Oh, we have a giveaway coming up. Episode 10 is coming up. We are giving away 10 copies of parenting books. Please look forward to that. Some of your favorite books are going to be on there, I'm willing to bet, because we chose some of the most popular ones, and it would be our honor to send you a copy to the first 10 people that share our show. So please look forward to that for next week, and have a wonderful week, and thank you for everything that you do for yourself, for your family, for your child. Take care.